Are you interested in beekeeping but still aren't sure if it's worth it? Well, Blaine's Farm and Fleet makes it easy to reap the sweet reward of homespun honey with beekeeping starter kits, accessories, and some friendly advice. Learn more, farmandfleet.com/beekeeping.
After 3 years of changing our day-to-day eating and buying habits, animal protein markets are working on getting the pendulum back towards center. Brenda Botel is a professor and extension commodity marketing specialist at UW River Falls. I had the opportunity to dive into many of the concerns in the animal protein world as 2023 gets rolling. Beef, pork, and poultry all have challenges to overcome, but it's certainly not all bad news out there for Wisconsin farmers. For the Midwest Farm Report, this is Carrie Mess. Brenda, can you give us an overview on what supply and demand looks like when we're looking at our animal proteins?
When we're looking at what is our availability for meat supplies in 2022, we had the availability depending on the products that we were at. When we looked at broilers or turkeys, if you think that about 51% of the animal proteins that are eaten in the United States, about 51% of them are poultry. We saw that broilers, we were up a little bit on the supply of those, but down significantly on turkey, what was available for supply for consumers to be able to purchase on that way. We were down on pork, and we were actually up on beef supply in the United States for 2022.
Grocery store prices aren't necessarily reflecting what we are seeing as the reality on farm and in storage. When do you see the two catching up to each other?
So you do have that little bit of that lag between basically what's at retail versus farm. Some of that deals with production. Some of it deals with the differences between the wholesale and the retail. And essentially, what are the margins at all of those different packers, right? Some of it, we definitely saw increases in prices. You know, when we look at pork and we look at beef and we look at poultry, some of it has to do with supply issues, right? So even if I talk about it's up, you know, remember we always have increased population in the United States, so we have to kind of look at it as a per capita basis. But when we're looking at that availability of that product, the other is we've just had inflation, and there's also, so that plays into a little bit of that. We've seen higher inflation rates for all of those animal proteins than what we did when you're looking at across the board basket of goods. They've been up a little bit in 22, higher inflation than the rest of it. Some of it plays into that. And then some of it is just that we've still had very strong demand. So even accounting for inflation, even accounting for that supply issues in that, consumers are still purchasing those animal proteins right now.
There is always something around the corner that could make big impacts for farmers and for our food supply. What are you keeping an eye on out there?
There's a lot of things on the horizons that could go. When we look at the specific industries there, we have to be concerned on a production side about avian influenza, where in 2022, we saw that really having an impact, everything from broiler production, hugely impacting turkey production. When we talk about egg prices and how much it's a production for laying hens. So that avian influenza, we had a bout of it in the spring, then we had a couple bouts of it again in October and December, so that's really had a big impact. Whether or not in 23, hopefully we don't continue to see that avian influenza so that we can start building back that flock. When we look at swine and the issues that we need to, obviously we have to be concerned a little bit about any diseases. So whether or not we need to make sure that we keep African swine fever out of the United States, those if we have an occurrences of PRRS, that always impacts production. The other part, though, that the swine industry is going to need to be wrestling with here in 2023 is that even though we have a decline in production, what we are seeing is a lot of the packers are buying some of these large independent hog producers in order to be able to make sure that they still have enough hogs to be able to slaughter and keep running at capacity. That's consolidation. It's not expansion. And so how is that going to impact the industry after 2020? 1993 when we has less open market hogs available, which plays into pricing and all sorts of issues down the road.
I'm talking with Brenda Botel, professor and extension commodity marketing specialist at UW River Falls. Brenda, speaking of pork, give me an overview on the biggest factors making the markets just so hard for them right now.
A big chunk of what's an issue is, you know, when we look at input prices, right? You know, this is impacting cattle, it's impacting pork. When we look at that corn price overall, you know, the high corn price plays into the profitability basically for those animals and how much, whether or not they can make it in the margins there. So until we probably won't see large amounts of expansion in the hog industry until we can either get a more stable corn price or a declining corn price, you know, and that's going to take a little while before we know that. Until we have some better feel for what's going to happen on that planting intentions and so forth for this year. But we probably won't, I mean, that's been a big impact for hog producers. The other part that's happening in that industry is because there are less animals and for slaughter and packers want to be able to operate at 100% capacity, in order to guarantee that, rather than encouraging and increasing prices in order to get expansion, what's happening is those are buying out those large independent hog producers. So yes, they have that, but it is more of a consolidation rather than an expansion. And that's going to have some impacts later on down in a few years as we, if we start to see expansion, where do those hogs end up getting sold?
Looking globally, there are areas struggling with disease in their pigs. Where is the biggest struggle and what does that mean for farmers here?
Disease worries are always a concern, you know, for all of them. Meat, animal protein products, right? We always concern about that. You know, one of the big ones that, you know, a couple of years ago that we were really worried about was the African swine fever. If that ever gets into the United States and the impact that that has. But we also have to worry about PRRS, you know, just that impact on the, what happens to production. So yes, it is a concern. We have seen increased rounds of those diseases worldwide. We've seen some with PRRS in 2022, but whether or not that continues in 2023, that's an area of an issue and concern for biosecurity.
Where are we at with pork exports? They were down last year, weren't they?
With pork, when we look at demand-wise, as I said, one of the biggest impacts for us is the strength of the dollar and the lack of competitiveness on pork. We saw that a little bit with our export markets going to Mexico. Mexico is typically our biggest export, and they were down some in 2022. A lot of that had to do with those really high ham prices. That's impacting some of that. A lot of that was accounted for by increased exports to China. So it wasn't as if we had that much more retail pork in the United States because China ended up taking a lot of that pork. Where we have to look at in 23 is what's happening with these economies elsewhere, because we want to make sure that they still have the purchasing power to be able to buy U.S. products. But then we have to look at China as well, because how much pork are they producing? Do they have the corn to be able to produce it? Because if they can produce it themselves, then they will basically import less pork.
Brenda, China is always top of mind when we talk exports, but as India's population grows, should we be paying more attention to that country?
So, well, when we look at animal proteins, China still basically the biggest growth market. So even though you have a population decline in China, what we have and what's impactful for us, particularly when we are looking at primarily beef, but also impacting pork somewhat, is the income. So yes, there's less people, but you have an increased income more that's grown faster there, which means that they can buy those U.S. products. And as I said, the last year, what we've struggled with is some price competition because of that strength of the dollar, products of U.S. products being expensive on account of that. We need them to have that income potential. We haven't seen that increase in the income for the majority of those in India. So even though they have a great population, they have to be able to have the income first in order and growing that before they can purchase our products.
So let's talk beef. Brenda, once again, drought is putting pressure on many of our beef producing areas of the country. Where does the national beef herd stand at this moment?
Yes, 2022 saw the beef industry really being impacted by drought. We had large amounts of cow culling. So when you look at slaughter in 2022, cow slaughter, beef cow slaughter, was up almost 11% relative to what it was in 21. Heifers slaughter was up again, roughly a big percentage as well, not quite that much. I believe it was around 4 to 5% in that case. So even though steer slaughter was down. So we had increased beef production, but the beef that was being produced was coming from different types of animals and whether or not we can continue that. So last year at this time, you know, I fully expected that the beef cattle herd would continue to decline. We typically will see that for a while after we've had it. I was kind of saying it would be around 300,000 head. Realistically, by the time you incorporate cow slaughter, heifers that are on feed, things like that, we might see close to 1 million head decline. So it's significantly impacted. Now, that's regionally going to have different impacts on where those cows were being culled, but from a national perspective, that herd is down. The question becomes on whether or not the drought is going to, if we're going to have any reprieve from that drought, and whether or not we get any forage availability. We know hay stocks are down. So whether or not we get any forage availability, any pasture availability, because if we don't and we continue to see more culling in 23, that's going to create even greater issues. If we start to see in the drought, we have reprieve on that. If we start to see that, then what producers are going to do, they'll hold those heifers back as replacements, which though drops beef production significantly again. So there's a few issues that we're going to have here in 23. It just kind of depends a lot on what's going to happen with weather.
There's been a pretty significant change in the amount of beef we are exporting. Tell me what that means for farmers here in Wisconsin.
Realistically, next year, we will see 13.3% decline in exports of beef in 23 relative to 22. You know, so up, down a few percentage from that, but it's definitely going to be down. A large chunk of that, a large justification for why that is we just aren't going to have that production. We're going to see less beef being produced in the United States, and we like that beef. We like our beef in the United States, and they're not necessarily always the same. What we import, we'll see increased imports of beef in order to be able to make sure that we still have beef supplied there. But what we typically import, we're importing that typically for more of those hamburger or those lower cuts of beef, where is if you're really looking at those middle meats, things like that, we want that grain-fed beef from the United States, so we'll just keep it here and consume it here.
So for those farmers here in Wisconsin raising beef cattle, we have a lot of forage on hand. We have a lot of beef on dairy crosses available to us. When we look locally, are Wisconsin farmers going to fare any better than other parts of the country?
We do have forage availability. We have better forage availability than elsewhere. And we have some of the options. So right now, there is definitely some profitability, definitely increased margins for whether or not you're a cattle feeder. So if you're finishing those animals on beef on dairy and you have a place to be able to sell them, there's definitely improved outlook for you as far as those prices. That margin, because it depends on what you were paying for those animals. Those feeder animals, as you go into 23, they're going to continue to increase. The finished animal price will continue to increase as well, but those margins are going to get a little bit tighter by the end of 23 relative to where they're at the beginning of 23 for the feeder. If you're producing those calves or those feeder animals, so if you're a beef cow calf producer, or if you have a high quality dairy herd and you have a reputation for producing dairy, beef on dairy animals that present themselves as beef, you have some potential as well there and really capturing a lot of that margin there. And we're starting to see that already.
Brenda, do you think we're going to see those $500 to $600 prices for baby calves again?
It depends a little bit on, again, drought. So if we, even though in Wisconsin, if we aren't having it, but we're looking at it from a national perspective, if we don't get that reprieve, there's definitely potential for those prices to continue to increase. On that front, so a little bit's going to depend on how high they go up, on how quickly this drought dissipates.
I'm speaking with Brenda Botel. She is a professor at UW River Falls and also an extension commodity marketing specialist. Brenda, let's talk about poultry. While everyone's talking about eggs, no one is mentioning turkey. Egg-laying hens were definitely hit hard with avian influenza, but turkey farms were as well. Just how bad was it, Brenda?
The turkey industry was hit quite badly as a production side, and then particularly when we look at Wisconsin, we as turkey production, that really does have a big impact because we were hit hard on the turkey production in Wisconsin. So overall production was significantly down, but then where that plays into is the idea of our exports as well. So throughout 2022, we also had a strong dollar. So now you have lower production, you have a strong dollar that made basically meant all of those exports of turkey were significantly down, and that just really had an impact on the overall production side. Where we're going to look at it for turkeys, again, if we can avoid any more further incidences. And I say that because we had further incidences in October, even in October for the turkey industry. If we can avoid any further incidences, we should be able to build that flock back up. But, you know, we aren't going to see that impact really until later in 2023. We should be able to get back to where we have year over year increased productions of around 8%, but it's still not back to that level of 21 yet.
Chicken accounts for just over half of all animal protein consumed here in the U.S. With the current animal protein production trends showing a lot of tightening numbers, where does that leave us for 2023?
We will have less beef produced. We will have less pork produced. We'll have greater poultry. What that means from a retailer, when you look at it, especially at a retail level, when you go to the grocery store now, as a consumer, the most expensive of those proteins is beef. And there's not a lot of potential because we have less of it for that retail price to come down. Same with pork. So we will probably see more substituting at the retail level for sure of beef to poultry and pork to poultry by retailers, by consumers as we get into the retail industry, especially if we start to see some recessionary concerns and consumers continue to feel weakness in the economy in that case. So there's that idea for poultry. We will probably see increased consumptions of it at levels, and it'll be a higher percentage in 23.
Once again, that was Brenda Botel. She shared her insights into the current state of affairs in the animal protein industry at the recent Wisconsin Ag Outlook Forum. She's a professor and commodity marketing specialist at UW Extension up at River Falls. For the Midwest Farm Report, this is Carrie Mess.
Rain gear? Can't live without it. It keeps you dry, makes those soggy chores much more manageable. Blaine's Farm and Fleet's got you covered from head to toe, literally, with great prices on rain pants, jackets, boots, and more. Shop in-store or online at farmandfleet.com.